Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right.
So,
what are you excited about this week?
The Madison Square Garden show is Saturday.
That's going to be exciting.
It is. I think the big thing as far as, like, you know, my possible title changes is the tag team championships are going to be on the line.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of can see the Dudley boys winning there. Not that we're making predictions, because that wouldn't really count for us. But
right.
That also isn't TakeOver Respect next week.
Yeah, I think it's a week from.
Okay. And I'll bring up the card here in a little bit, and we can kind of go through that. What we can, because, you know, with NXT, they like to add stuff last minute. Their TakeOver card seems to be a little bit more fluid.
Yeah, well, the part of it is, like, the exciting thing is...
It is the main event,
Main event.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, you know, is really exciting / about time.
And it's, you know, it's that and the semifinals and the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Right.
It's going to be that night. So, and it's one of the things just like, what is Finn Balor doing? And then they're like, oh, right, he's teaming up with Samoa Joe, so clearly he's probably going to be in the finals at least.
Right.
And that'll probably set up some sort of catalyst between, you know, the two of them to lead to a future feud or whatever.
Feud or respectful mutual respect match.
Sure.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we have listed in that card real quick. Because what else is there to talk about? You got the semifinals, which is Finn Balor, Samoa Joe versus the Mechanics, Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder.
Right.
You got a lot of people that really, really love the Mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine because, you know, Scott Dawson, local boy. He came from local promotions here in Greensboro or around in the Greensboro area. Awesome.
We have, for our locals that made it, we have the Hardy Boys. So
sure, fine.
No, that's the thing. So, like, if somebody else went and made it,
yes,
I wouldn't hate that.
I would love that.
Like,
looking at you, Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett, please make a big splash here because we would like some non-drug addicts to make it big, please.
It's totally... Here's the thing is, I definitely have this weird forever soft spot in my heart for Jeff Hardy.
As a North Carolinian, it's kind of hard not to.
For that and for, like, what he did during the time that he was popular.
Right.
And what he was willing to do, the stunts that he pulled off. Like, you know what? Yeah. And so I want to like Jeff Hardy. And it's the kind of thing I'm like, I'll give him one more chance. Oh, you burned me again, buddy. You got me.
Yeah.
Okay, one more chance. Let's really go for it. Oh, come on, Jeff Hardy. You got me again.
Yeah.
And your antics.
Well, yeah. And of course, now, you know, he's cleaned up his act. So, you know, don't have to worry about that anymore, but still, like, you go back to that one, I can't remember what the TNA pay-per-view was, but...
It was Victory Road, wasn't it?
I suppose so, yeah. Of him and Sting, and that just... That forever just put a big old black mark on his persona and his, you know, his personality and everything.
Yeah.
And that might not be who he is anymore, but...
Right.
He's still one weird dude, and his music career is a... A lot of words that I can't say right now.
It's this weird tale of what could have been.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys. I mean, Jeff Hardy is not alone in that club of guys, if they had done the things that they needed to do to stay with WWE and get, and you know, what Mr. Kennedy is sitting in that, like, maybe leading that club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
you know, and it's just a long list of names of what-ifs with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He was just the one that was closest to getting to that top tier.
Yeah.
You know, than pretty much anybody else that didn't quite get there.
Right.
Although he was champion, like, twice, very briefly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's the thing, is, like, he had that. He had that Undertaker match.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the tag team stuff.
Yeah.
Is what he'll always be known for, I feel. Well,
that and, you know, the way he left with the CM Punk feud, because that was a really good feud.
It was a good feud.
Yeah. Like, so. They main evented SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
It was a SummerSlam in the same card where DX was returning.
Yeah.
And they main evented. That's... I mean, that, you know, that kind of goes back to, like, oh, well, the championship has to end even in the show, even though they break that rule so many times.
Yeah.
But back then, for some reason, they really felt it was necessary. Same reason for, like, WrestleMania 19, where we would have thought Rock and Hogan would have ended the show, but it didn't.
That's the one that was really awkward,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because the main event happened a couple matches early.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, do we try and beat traffic now? We saw the real match. We saw the real main event.
Right, precisely. So, moving on. This is one of those, like, I don't know how to predict it. I would assume probably Finn Balor and Samoa Joe would probably win, so they can be in that second match later on in the night.
Yeah.
Or unless this is where they start this is how, like, you know, they start the rift between the two in a way to progress the mechanics, because I know a lot of people are really high on them.
Personal preference, I would love for Samoa Joe, Finn Balor to feud over mutual respect.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't
have to, like, be that's part of the thing, though. Is like, you know what, I totally understand if you don't do that.
Right, sure.
And I can't really be like, shame on you.
Because how could, like, it's one of those things that's like, it's going to be kind of difficult to make either of them a heel.
Right.
You know?
So
that'll be a great way to just not do that, because it's not necessary.
Right.
To make both, either of them a heel.
Right.
But they're probably going to find some way, because honestly, I would like to see the finals, as much as I love pretty much, well, three of the four teams, in the semifinals. I would like to see it end up being Mechanics versus Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
I would really like that match.
I mean,
if it doesn't work out that way, sure. I have a feeling it's probably going to be Finn Balor and Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin and Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Just because reasons.
Who they want to push.
Right. And I mean, I get it. You know, I get the appeal behind Rhino, sure. May not get the whole thing with Baron Corbin, but I've accepted that he's here, he's going to stay, at least for a little while, and he's gonna get pushed.
He is, and I have little doubt that he will get better. And I don't know if he'll ever get where you want, I don't know
sure.
if he'll ever get where he should be, but let's remember how they pushed Kali for a while.
I know, yeah.
Like,
and again, at least he has working knees.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that going for him.
It's always nice.
And again, you know, as much as we give Samoa Joe credit for it, he did have a pretty good match at the Brooklyn show.
Yeah.
But of course, I would give most of the credit to Samoa Joe,
oh,
but
absolutely.
It takes two to tango. So, you know,
absolutely.
You got to give him some credit, sure.
Yeah.
That is about as much credit as I'll give him. So, yeah, like as I mentioned before, Jason Jordan, Chad Gable versus Baron Corbin and Rhino, the other semifinal match. And then after that, of course, the final match. Also have Apollo Crews versus Tyler Breeze. Crews is going to go over. I want more for Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze is the Dolph Ziggler.
He really
NXT.
Is. He really is in so many different ways. And it's just, he's the guy that you feed whoever big name you want to push next, you know?
You keep him just relevant and just skilled enough that...
Yeah. He's the guy that you give, that you put Hideo Itami in for a little while. He's the guy you mm-hmm. put against Finn Balor as a number one contendership match. That's both believable, but you know who's going to win.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of a bummer
mm-hmm.
because Tyler Breeze is super talented.
He is.
You'll want good things for him. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if I want to move him up to Raw either because they already have a Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And he's gonna get lost in the shuffle, or
mm-hmm.
at least I'm afraid he is.
Yeah.
And you know, there's gonna be that kind of fear with a lot of these guys that move up. You know, we were afraid of that with Kevin Owens, and that kind of came true for a little bit. We're still unsure about that.
Though. It is.
You know,
I feel like it is coming true.
Right.
Like this very slow motion train wreck mm-hmm. coming true, where all I can just go with, no.
Right. You know, and you're kind of getting that vibe a little bit with Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting that vibe with Sasha Banks, because she wasn't even on Raw. And, like, that's what I'm super scared of.
I'm very, very nervous about that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Even if you're like, oh, yeah, she wants, like, even if they were like, oh, she's concentrating on her upcoming Iron Man match against Bayley. Okay, sure. But there's not even, like, any mention. Like, there was an aside during the Divas tag team match from earlier. It's like, oh, well, Team Bad had a lot of stuff to say about this on social media, and, like, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
And, like, you know, again, who cares about Tamina? Naomi, I've already accepted that they're going to misuse her for probably her entire career here.
Yeah.
But Sasha Banks, I'm like, come on, you guys. You got a golden opportunity with Sasha Banks. You've got, like, potential main event matches with her, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, well, Bayley coming up. Come on.
I mean, I fully believe that of the ones brought up, Paige included, in that brought up from NXT, bred in NXT crowd.
Right.
Sasha Banks is your fully formed character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She
is. And Sasha Banks is...
And fully comfortable in that character as well. Like, it seems natural to her.
Yes. And I just... I understand that Charlotte is...
She had to be the first. Just like, to,
and I get... And here's the thing.
Just like after Paige, she had to be the next one up.
It's a Ric Flair thing. Sure. And I don't want to take anything away from Charlotte's talent. I don't want to take anything away from her work ethic, anything. I think Charlotte's amazing.
Yes.
But I am worried that Charlotte will become Joan Cena for...
For this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And just... I'm nervous.
Right.
I'm nervous about so many things with that whole storyline.
When clearly, like, I don't think it's really a shock to anybody to say Sasha Banks is probably the best female wrestler that they have.
I mean, in the company, there's strong arguments for it and very little arguments against it.
Right.
And it's the kind of thing.
She's at least in your top three in the WWE at least.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where you can see what's happening, mm-hmm. and you can see the clear path that they should be taking, but you can also see the clear path that they're probably going to take.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's equally as clear, and you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, the slow motion Kevin Owens train wreck to the middle.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't stop it.
Yeah, you're right. So. Did you hear about the, the quote-unquote Twitter war between, was that Alundra Blaze and Paige?
No.
Yeah, apparently Alundra Blaze apparently liked Paige's pipe bomb or whatever from the other week, but she's just basically like, half of you guys don't even wrestle or don't even know how to wrestle. Like, I could put you guys to shame. The Divas Revolution started with me, and I'm like, you were kind of just it in WWE. Like, there was no one else there.
Yeah.
And then you left.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, the Divas, like, rose to its peak and then back down since you started. Like, what do you call a Divas Revolution may have started back then, but it's already had its peaks and valleys since then, so.
Yeah. No, that's kind of thing is, like, you know what?
And I think Paige just responded with, like, a very, like, PC and very, like, non-specific response of, like, losing respect for people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, all right, just shut up.
Yeah.
Just enjoy that it's getting better.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like it's...
Also, freaking Total Divas. I didn't watch it, the season finale, but I read...
I didn't. What?
Apparently, like, the they ended with, like, a weird thing where Dolph Ziggler was hitting on Nikki.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh,
no.
That's interesting.
He can't even get a non.
Maybe that's why he's been stuck in this Rusev feud for so long. I'm just saying.
You think John Cena goes into the writer's room and be like, this is what Dolph Ziggler is really good at? Hitting on other people's girlfriends. Write that.
It's one of his slogans. Stealing the show and stealing your girlfriend. Or however he says it.
Oh, God. He can't even get a storyline that doesn't involve that on E.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Precisely.
Oh, well.
Oh. Anyway, yeah, Apollo Crews. Going over to Tyler Breeze, that's fine. I'm kind of ready for them to do something with Apollo Crews rather than just squash mouth. Being in squash matches and smiling a lot.
Yeah.
You know? I love him, and I think he's incredible. I'm ready. Like, yes, hooray, he's new, he's doing great, let's get him in something. Let's see him do something. Next is Asuka, or however you say, because Regal, when he introduced her on NXT last week, he said it completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Asuka?
Yeah.
I don't know which is correct. I will... see whenever we watch the show. However the commentators say it is probably how I'm going to go.
All right.
It can't be any worse than Berm Sturgeman.
God, that guy.
Also, our listeners on Twitter had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah?
Yeah. No.
Good.
They were asking, well, not asking questions, but we were kind of talking about Dirk Merman.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming up with different names as well. I'm like, oh, you guys are incredible. Thank you for playing along with the joke.
No.
Man, we're going to drive that into the ground. Like,
oh, absolutely.
The rest of his career is screwing on class ring attire. And I don't know why I'm making that hand gesture. So, you can't see it, but whatever.
No, I mean, it's going to be, you know, he could be 16-time WWE champion, Boog Stugan.
Exactly.
And I'm like, all right, here we go.
Right, precisely. And then, of course, the main event. Asuka's going to go against the Mud Duck herself, Dana Brooke. Asuka's going to win.
Yeah, it's
her
new excited person squash match. I mean, that's
exactly. And it's like, we want to show up. Like, you've heard how great she is, you know, in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really showcase her stuff here.
Yeah.
And just squash Dana Brooke. Now we got Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Clearly the main event. I'm assuming Bayley's probably going to win again.
Yeah.
Just to keep the belt.
I'm so almost unreasonably excited for this match. You know? I think this might be my most anticipated match of the year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. After the magic that was their match in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, if it's not as good, fine, whatever. But we know it's at least going to be a really good quality match, you know?
Yeah, here's the thing, because I was thinking about it the other day. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, the match wasn't anticipated. The outcome of the match was very anticipated.
Because we were curious about what they were
going to do.
Yeah.
I was eagerly anticipating Sting's match, just because it was Sting's match.
Right.
But I still...
Against Triple H.
Yeah.
Wasn't necessarily looking forward to Seth Rollins, but...
Yeah.
For that reason.
But I still think, as far as a most anticipated match mm-hmm. of the year, it might be. I think it's this match.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I agree. Because, like, there hasn't been an Iron Man match, like, in any form, with any, you know, male or female.
In years.
It's been a few years, yeah. And, yeah, it's a 30-minute, which I feel like is reasonable in this, you know, this day and age when, mm-hmm. you know, they don't necessarily
it's a two-hour show, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, so you don't want an hour-long Iron Man match.
Well, I also showed in Brooklyn, like, they're not scared of going over.
Yeah.
Because it's only on
an hour.
So.
That's true.
Bam.
But I mean, part of it is like, I'm also fully prepared to give credit to the commentary team to be able to be like, oh, that she let that pin happen for strategy reasons.
Right.
Da 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 da.
Oh, yeah.
So, which I
would. We're not going to assume they're going to go, you know, 0-0, 0-1 the entire
right.
time.
Right. I wouldn't trust other commentary teams to do that, but I trust this commentary team to do that.
Yeah, I think the last one was probably John Cena and Randy Orton, and it felt like the pin count was kind of absurd. I don't remember what it was, but it seemed... I have a vague memory of it being kind of high.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was an hour or half hour.
I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, I remember, like, the Iron Man match.
But I can't... Like even a 30-minute Iron Man match with John Cena and Randy Orton, how boring that must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if it was an mm-hmm. hour, oh my god, how did the people not riot in the streets?
Yeah.
Funny thing, while we were talking about Dirt Merman,
mm-hmm.
Someone, or Evil Jackalopes tweeted us mentioning him with Bernie Schwermy. So that was great timing. Thank you at Evil Jackalopes. So yeah, that's the NXT show. They might add, they might take away. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Like, a lot of people talking about Cody Rhodes went out, had an interview or whatever, and said that him and Goldust would be out of character but presenting the trophy.
Right.
And I'm like, that's, you know, and then the big thing is that's the first time Cody Rhodes has been on WWE TV as Cody Rhodes in a while.
Yeah. Let me ask
you. But it's one of those things that's like, who else would have done that? And, you know, who are they going to try to fool? Like, of course they're going to be out of character.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about the build-up to the Brock Lesnar Big Show match? Is there anything you would have done differently up to and including giving Brock Lesnar a different opponent?
Okay. Here's the thing. You set up this whole Brock Lesnar going to hell tour thing, mm-hmm. which kind of guarantees that he's going to win. Probably decisively, but he's going to win against whoever they would have put in that.
At Madison Square Garden?
At Madison Square
Garden. Oh, yeah, I think no question there.
So I don't want to say that they shot themselves in the foot. I don't know exactly how they're going to build up to Hell in a Cell, like if it's going to be Lesnar calling out Undertaker and Undertaker answering or something like that, or whatever.
Well, the match is scheduled, so I don't know how much they need to, you know?
Well, yeah. I would have liked to have seen that, like, organically happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can announce, like, Brock Lesnar is going to be at Hell in a Cell, not mention who's going to be the opponent going to be just yet or whatever, or he's going to have an open challenge to whoever wants to, whatever, you mm-hmm. know? And then start the tour that way.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've already announced that it's going to be Lesnar versus Taker, again, the way he's been built, the way he's at his status right now, you put him up against anybody, and you're like, okay, well, that other person is obviously going to lose.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know there's a whole lot you can do to get around that. We've already seen the really hilarious one-sided match.
The destruction of Kofi.
Right. There are people that I wish that would have gotten a shot, especially since it's, you know, not necessarily a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something that they didn't really build on a whole lot. Like, Big Show did a promo, last week? And then this week?
He did. And he also didn't have a ton of time to build on it.
Sure. So. Because, you know, it's coming right after Night of Champions, and they don't want necessarily... That they announced it at Night of Champions.
Right. Here's the thing. I don't have anybody who I'm like, I can't believe they used Big Show and not this person.
Sure. I mean, there's people I would have liked to have seen. Like, I still think Brock Lesnar versus Cesaro would be an incredible match. The list goes on and on.
I really want to see that, but I want to see that because I want to see Cesaro feats of strength.
Yeah.
And I still feel like this match is to show off Big Show or Lesnar feats of strength.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so if they want to do that... as much as I want to see a Brock Lesnar Cesaro match,
yeah,
I
don't want to see a Big Show squash Cesaro match.
Right. That's the thing is I don't want to feed Cesaro into another machine.
Right. Absolutely.
And so, which incidentally, Cesaro got fit into this machine anyway to try and build Big Show credibility up real quick.
Yeah, he was basically he was built up to be fed to Big Show.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So that Big Show looked credible.
And so that Cesaro wasn't on the show this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. So I'm not going to try to, rebook it to where they put somebody else in, because short notice, who's a credible, or semi-credible
I think
opponent,
it's, you know...
That could actually get offense in on Brock. Then, Big Show.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to see another Cena-Lesnar match.
No, and you would make that a real pay-per-view match anyway.
Precisely.
So.
I don't know who else. Because they don't want to do another Roman-Brock Lesnar match.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Not something that's not a pay-per-view.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Who, and Big Show, is kind of in this spot in his career where... He can be pretty credible pretty quickly when you need him to be.
Right.
And he can be goofy fodder and, job to anybody you need to pretty much whenever. I mean...
And now he's at the status where Mark Henry's jobbing to him. Like, oh yeah, let's just forget about that feud that they had a few years ago where, one really... It was quite a feat for one to beat the other, and they went on for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the second time, I think, in the past couple months where Big Show beat Mark Henry, within, 5-6 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, this is I'm kind of fine with it.
Sure,
I don't need strong continuity in my Big Show storylines as to who can beat who, when, and what.
Yeah.
Just, okay.
Right, and again, it's more it's a Brock Lesnar showcase.
It is.
That you didn't necessarily have to use up a Brock Lesnar appearance to build up. you know.
I mean, I don't know if he, I don't know if he gets paid differently for house shows or anything, and they can be like,
hey, well, this is the second straight house show, quote unquote, that that's on the network, and it's going to be essentially featured by Brock Lesnar. Like,
I'm curious.
I mean, he had the entire show named after him in Japan.
Yeah, I'm curious if. If there is a different pay scale on this,
right.
And they've, like, figured out a loophole where they can, like, get Brock Lesnar appearances on the network.
Well, I mean, okay, they're using Brock Lesnar, I think, in a pretty smart way. You know, these semi-last minute, not necessarily last minute, but, like, these pop-up shows that are only, like, network exclusive. You can't buy it on pay-per-view at all.
Yeah.
And they're using, you know, the biggest guy that they've got, the guy with the most hype around him, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really smart
I think way it is. I think it
get people to buy.
I think it also it sells it by the month.
Right.
You know, because you pay by month for the network.
So you bought it this month, you might as well watch Hell in a Cell cuz Undertaker's going to be there, you know.
Yeah, I think pitching it as, you know, $4.99 you are getting this event and this event and this event and this event.
Which is, you know, again, like, that's why they build the whole, like, Brock Lesnar month.
Right.
Should have been Brocktober.
Brocktober, but...
You know, but you get the Madison Square Garden show, you get the Austin podcast, you get Hell in a Cell.
Right.
So, yeah, no, they package this in a way that should do pretty good numbers for them, I think.
And so I think that's the smart way to do it. So, how do you feel about pretty much the other storyline on Raw? The Kane storyline.
I mean, it's starting to... there's parts of it that I like.
Nope, I like it.
I know.
I totally don't know why.
I know.
If you don't like it, that's cool.
I mean, I was... can't really fault you. Something I was going to say for the mail sack, but... this came from Blair over on Facebook. Trash your ring attire, there's your plug.
There you go.
Jerks. Has Joel recovered from whatever blood fever that was ailing him when he said that he was looking forward to Rollins versus Kane?
Nope, I like it.
Clearly, no, he hasn't.
Whatever.
Also, okay, they after last week's Raw, whenever Kane popped up through the ring and drug Seth Rollins down, they did the Raw fallout thing, which is like, you know, after the TV cameras come off. Apparently he just got out from under the ring and just like, just staggered around and just walked to the back. I'm like, really? Come on, you guys. Come on.
Is Raw Fallout in kayfabe canon?
Well, I don't know. But basically he's just like, he just came out looking confused and just kind of stumbled away while Kane's music was still playing and everything was still red.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of the thing that's where like...
The dual personality thing is fine.
They're using Kane... in a way that they really haven't before.
Right.
And
in a more creative way that they haven't done in a while.
Right. And that's impressive for a guy who's in, like, his 15th or 16th or 17th year of his career.
Yeah.
So.
18th, but okay. Or 18th as Kane.
Yeah. It's like, fine. I stopped 1 year too early.
Yeah.
In his 18th year of his career.
As that character, yeah.
In a pretty consistent career. Like, Kane has not taken a ton of time off in those 18 years.
You know, and we can argue that a lot of that was spent being used kind of in a, like, lame kind of meh way. Like, yeah, Kane's here. He doesn't have a mask anymore. Hooray. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Kane spent a lot of time as, you know, bargain bin Undertaker.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's just kind of... Okay, sorry, that's what he was.
And, you know, he was, like, the, I don't know how else to phrase it, but, like, the John Laurinaitis type as the corporate Kane. And I'm just like, he wasn't really being used. Like, he's supposed to still be a credible threat, but he lost every freaking match.
Yeah.
And so, and it's not so much like, oh, he's better with the mask or better without the mask. That's not even...
No.
Because there's ways to use him without the mask, as you're seeing now, that is effective and is interesting.
I totally 100% get that Kane is still being used as the filler feud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The way that he was with the Rise Above the Hate thing, the way that he constantly is. I'm not blind to that.
No, yeah.
But I don't know, they're doing something weird and right. interesting and different. And
because, like, that was my thought. I was just, you know, sitting back thinking after... Because I figured this thing is probably going to be a one-time thing. Yeah. You know, because I thought wrong. Well, I don't know. I can't remember what I predicted. But, you know, if Sting loses that match, then who is next? You know, mm-hmm. and I honestly couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
You know, because I was hoping it wasn't Cena. But he's kind of their go-to thing, unless they want to start something with Sheamus. But then again, it's like, who's the heel, who's the face?
Kane's a better choice than Cena.
Like, yeah, no. At this point, yeah, absolutely.
Pick your battles here, guys.
Kane is a better solution than Cena. He's a better solution than Sheamus.
Yeah. And I'm not expecting a match of the year.
No.
I'm probably not expecting a match of the night at Hell in a Cell for the title.
Yeah, fair enough.
But honestly, the thing is, like, filler feuds mm-hmm. like this, where we have to wait until, you know, Survivor Series for the real next feud or whatever.
Yeah.
The worst part about them is the 4 weeks where we have to listen to promos where they pretend like it matters.
Right.
And why I'm okay with this is because the promo aspect of it is weird and kooky and different because Kane's split personality thing.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been in the writer meeting for this past episode of Raw. It was just like, hey guys, you know that department that other companies have? What is that? What is it called? Human something. Human resource? Is that what that's called? Do we have one of those? Wait, we do? Huh. Maybe we can work that in. Like, hey guys, guess what we just found out we had? Bam.
Wrestlers can do what?
Right? Also, you didn't notice for a little bit, but when they were actually doing the in-ring segment, you can clearly tell that they got that HR actor lady from New York.
Yeah.
She had that, yeah, no, you could, those a few words were like, mm-hmm. yeah, yep. okay, no, I see that. Nope, they hired local. Good on yeah. them. Good mm-hmm. on them.
I mean, they do.
Yeah.
And it's good that they still do.
Yeah.
I think you asked this. Do you have an answer for it? What if HR existed this whole time?
Well, see, here's the thing. I put that out. That was kind of my prompt for everybody for the mail sack this week. I received a flood. not necessarily from a bunch of people, but definitely from Ed Evil Jackalopes, who tends to be our wrestling historian sometimes. Dear God, there's so much stuff that I forgot, and I wish I could forget again. Clearly, Katie Vick. The Katie Vick situation kind of hit that. Okay, I don't know. Okay, here might just be a weird thing that your employees once did, and you're like, okay, no, you're fired.
I mean, that's the thing.
But then, like, the biggest HR disaster, I feel like, would be, you know, the boss sexually harassing one of his employees, aka Trish Stratus.
I was gonna say
that was like
it's the Trish Stratus thing,
yeah,
or it's the Kiss My Ass Club,
right?
Like yeah.
it because both depict a very clear abuse of power by the guy in charge of everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, no, Evil Jackalope sent me such a list. It is ridiculous.
Because Triple H had no corporate power during the Katie Vick thing, right? He was just a wrestler.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing.
He was
like,
just a wrestler pardoning a dead woman.
Yeah. And, you know, when Undertaker captured people and tried to sacrifice them, he was just a wrestler. So it's just a crazy disgruntled employee. But when Vince does a thing.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well.
Then it's like, then that's, I feel like would be more of a.
And when PR. when Vince does a thing to not a wrestler, to a commentator or to a manager.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing is like, well, that's just him being terrible to his employees.
You want to go through the list of things that make you feel icky?
Sure.
Start up, well, Evil Jackalope started with Katie Vick, then goes to Steve Austin sexually assaulting people by punching them in the nuts, and shoving a catheter up Mr. McMahon, and his next tweet just says, Rock, Lillian, Strudel. Because Rock, pretty much, well, pardon the pun, he laid it on kind of thick whenever Lillian was around.
Yeah.
About anything out of the original DX's mouths, get ready to suck it. If you're not down with it, suck it. Either way, it's there sucking. early Goldust and...
See, but here's the thing.
Early Goldust with Roddy Piper and Razor Ramon.
I could almost see, like, a different version of the storyline where, like, they do have an HR or a standards and practice person, like... comedically trying to clean up all the messes of DX.
Maybe that's where they'll go with this. Maybe they'll make this an ongoing thing. But the list goes on. Val Venus getting his Venus chopped off. I don't know if... Well, that's just more like an attack.
Yeah.
By a fellow employee. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see it now. Al Snow was forced to force-fed his pet dog by Bossman. Hashtag RIP Pepper.
God, the friggin'
it brings back memories, like, right?
Oh, jeez.
Actually, this is from at Yappa Podcast, Austin's Bang 316 episode with the gun, with the flag came out and Vince peed himself. The Pillman gun angle. Vince is the higher power. Trish and Vince around WrestleMania 17. Katie Vick. Triple H versus Book. I forgot about that. Triple H was super racist about that whole thing.
Right.
Let's see. DDP stalking. Taker's wife, Sarah, at the time. Taker kidnapping people. Billy and Chucky and Rico.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had some moments.
This list is like just a file away in when people want the Attitude Era back.
Slick, everyone's favorite manager, being harassed and assaulted by... You said Bulldogs or Tito Santana. Roddy Piper versus Bad News Brown for WrestleMania 3. And all the Adrian Adonis jokes back around
1985.
Yeah.
Well, they would also... I mean, here's the thing. They would also be complaining to a 1985 HR department.
True.
Which is different than a 2015 HR department.
True. Very true. And we kind of, like... Me and Evil Jack Woods kind of broke off into a, you know, why are people so sensitive these days kind of discussion. Just two old people basically grumbling.
But I feel like if there's an HR department in the back just watching the show, I'm one of those going to be like, ugh.
Right.
Just like, that's paperwork. And I still think the Kiss My Ass Club would be the thing where that's the most paperwork.
Just go through that OMG Top 50 DVD. Just go through that list.
Yeah.
And it's just a pick'em. Just any one of them. Even the dangerous in-ring stuff. Like, oh yeah, you're gonna send a aging wrestler through a flaming table. Okay. That's fine, I guess. Whatever. Compared to everything else. Being force-fed a dog. Whatever.
That's paperwork. That's a lot of paperwork.
That is a lot of paperwork. What else is there to talk about? I don't know.
Okay.
Michael Cole's super ripped now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I saw that article. That was weird, but astonishing at the same time to know that Michael Cole is now in better shape than me.
I hope this doesn't signal a return to in-ring action.
No, Michael Cole actually says, like, no, absolutely not. No. Because even he, like, to this day, like, recognizes that was a misstep. At least the match was.
It was...
the one Jerry Lawler WrestleMania moment that he'll have, as far as, like, in-ring.
The thing is, like...
freaking Michael Cole.
You almost forget, like, how bizarrely charming it was...
Oh, yeah.
Up until WrestleMania.
See, how that feud had the best build-up of any other feud that year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like... because it was, like, actually thought out. Like, it went all the way back to Miz's... Cashin, basically, like, that started it all, and that was, like, November, I feel.
Yeah, it cashed in November.
So, it's, like,
it's
astounding how really interesting that feud got.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly, like, the moment Michael Cole came out and started cutting a promo down the ramp, it's, like, that. I feel like that was the moment where it's, like, oh no, he's telling fat jokes at JR.
Yeah.
Really? Really? The guy that looks like a pumpkin right now is going to tell fat jokes right now?
Well, the whole thing was, part of it was like this weird, slow heel turn for Michael Cole.
Yeah.
And it was like so organic.
Yeah.
And because it felt like...
And it really just came out of him being a giant Miz fan.
Well, it came out of him not being JR, for one thing.
Well, yeah.
And so there was just a little bit of a refusal to accept him.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, well...
Him being the guy, you know, basically being the voice of the anonymous general manager,
mm-hmm.
that... Basically, like, even if they weren't planning any sort of heel turn, that alone would have done the trick.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But it was so, like, all right, we'll add this a little bit.
Mm.
And I think it was, and honestly, I'm curious because a lot of it came around the pro-Miz, anti-Daniel Bryan thing.
Yeah.
And if you remember, way back in NXT Season 1, a lot of, like, super hardcore fans were really upset that Miz was the pro to Daniel Bryan, right. When Daniel Bryan was, you know... More experienced wrestler with probably a greater career trajectory at that point than Miz was. And so I wonder how much of it was, like, things that Michael Cole was instructed to say to be like, no, Miz is a big deal and Daniel Bryan's a rookie, you guys. Right. And
because Michael Cole really laid that on thick,
mm-hmm.
with the anti-Dana Bryan stuff.
And I think...
Or whatever.
I think, like, he might have been instructed to say that.
Sure, yeah.
And so that kind of really... It was, you know, pushed into the heel turn. And so we were going to finally see the comeuppance. It was going to be at WrestleMania. It was going to be great. And then it was ruined.
Yeah.
And it happened for 3 months too long.
Oh, yeah. No, it really should have... I could have seen, like, maybe, like, one more, like, a Fallout match.
Nope.
Okay, fine. But you would agree, like, anything beyond that would have been inexcusable?
Anything beyond what? The Fallout match?
Just a Fallout match.
I think anything beyond WrestleMania.
Okay.
But because...
But you gotta realize, like, it wouldn't have been resolved the way that they ended that WrestleMania match.
I mean, I think that was the moment where they overturned it.
Yeah.
I think that moment was, like... That was the moment that it ruined.
They really went off, yeah.
Because the feud, again, the feud started in November.
Yeah, it probably would have ended right when Waller.
It was a 4-month feud already that they treated, because in wrestling, you have your match within the first month. So you do 3 matches for a 3 pay-per-view matches for a 3-month feud.
Right.
But this has already been a 4-month feud because it was a commentator feud.
Right.
So we were at the end of acceptable feud timeline, and they treated it as like it was the beginning of acceptable feud timeline,
right.
Because it had only had one match so far. So
yeah, fair enough.
I mean, that's what it was to me, was they had pushed the boundaries of how long it was acceptable,
right.
And then went 3 months longer. So
I have to say I'm pretty pleased with myself just now. My throwaway Michael Cole comment led to a good 10 minutes off of this podcast.
I know.
When we're really struggling to find something to talk about.
But then you had to acknowledge it. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's my role here. I'm the agitator.
Okay.
Come on.
So the thing that I actually was going to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because
I had plans here.
All right. Excuse me.
They're treating Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt like a main event feud.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Sure. I mean, like, it is. And a lot of it had to do with, like, this is going to be the final, this is how it's going to end, and I don't know if it actually will, because, you know, the match was kind of a draw because they both got a count out,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, at the end, when they were doing the brawl thing, it kind of, like, they were both laid out.
I thought they were getting a Hell in a Cell match.
Probably. But, like, they were building the Raw match all night as, this is going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
You know? And honestly, I really liked the post-match stuff. Like, and I thought the ending was pretty incredible. Like,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that aspect now. The in-ring stuff, it was kind of a bore.
Yeah,
for
but
a little while.
It is. I don't think these two guys gel particularly well. I don't think they're terrible together.
No.
But I don't think their styles...
It is, yeah.
I don't think they're a natural good fit for each other, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure. And sometimes it's something that you can't avoid.
Mm-hmm. And I think as they both continue to evolve as wrestlers, because they're still both pretty
They're still pretty young, and, you know, they're probably...
And they're pretty new in their careers.
This is probably not going to be the last feud between the two.
Right, and I think in 3 years or so, they will have even better repertoire with each other.
Yeah,
just sure. Because. But the fact that it is these two guys, these two younger guys, being treated as a main event thing...
Right.
...is an exciting, because far, far, far too often... the bringing up of a younger guy involves him fighting an older guy.
Right.
Who is far too often Cena.
Sure. With Cena far too often getting the upper hand at the end of
right.
the thing. Which, you know, it hurt Bray Wyatt for a little while.
Right.
You know, and honestly, they could have easily just saw the reaction that Roman got at the beginning of the year and... just decided, like, all right, he's just going to stay in the mid-card. You know, he could have given him the Ryback treatment.
Right.
You know, so it's good to see that they're not giving up on him, because there's still something there.
Oh, I totally believe that.
There absolutely is something there. They tapped in on it a little too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't do a good enough job when they decided to tap into it.
Just to build them up. Yeah, I totally initially. Agree.
And with Bray, it's just like, you got to find something... different for him to do. Not necessarily change character or anything, but...
Do you think Bray Wyatt will be WWE champion in his career?
In his career? Probably, yeah.
How soon do you think that will happen? How about this? Do you think Dolph Ziggler will be WWE champion in his career?
Oh, man, that's a difficult question. Because Bray Wyatt, I can definitely say yeah. Like, and I feel like within the next 2-3 years, probably. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. 3 years ago, I would have bet the farm on Dolph Ziggler will be champion at one point.
Oh, yeah. No, I would, too. Seeing how he gets treated now after all these years and all these years of hoping, it's really kind of hard to put any eggs in that basket, you know? And I don't want to be that way about Cesaro, because I was evaluating it. Because, like, you know, throughout, like, all my years of liking wrestling, through every period, there was always, like, that one guy is my definite favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels, CM Punk. And now it's just like, I've kind of been going back and forth between these guys, and right now it's Cesaro, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I really want to be hopeful and be like, this guy is going to get it too, but I'm also starting to feel doubtful about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is, like, with Cesaro, like, this is the biggest swell of support he's ever had.
Part of the thing is, like,
and anything.
We've said nothing but good things about Cesaro in the past several years. Like, we started pretty hard on Cesaro.
Well, because he had weird nipples.
But and the friggin' five languages thing
yes.
was the worst.
Yes, it was. And then he started yodeling after that. So.
Yes.
No, he did not start on great terms with us.
No. But the thing is, like, we've said great things about Cesaro. Clearly, lots of people have said it. The Cesaro section... thing has happened. Stone Cold.
You got Stone Cold trying to put him over on every single podcast.
And has, like, we have video evidence of Stone Cold telling McMahon, you should push this guy. And McMahon going.
And then stories of, like, Cesaro, like, telling Vince McMahon, challenge accepted. So you know how Vince McMahon is. You know he had to have respected that.
And we have all of that, and we have very strong evidence that McMahon went, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's just like...
He's completely dismissing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, when that happens, I don't know if I can, like, believe that they want...
That they want to put anything behind Ziggler anymore.
And
especially when you've got so many, like, shiny new toys coming up from NXT.
That's the thing.
That we also want great things for, you know?
And they have, the thing is, like, they still have this Dean, Roman, Seth thing, and those three guys could just trade the title for years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so...
with, like, a few, like, you know, holders in between.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it kind of goes off of what we were talking about the past couple weeks, how long do you think it'll be before they try to get somebody to break Punk's modern era record or whatever?
A year's a long time. A year's a long commitment.
And it's got to be something that they definitely believe in.
Here's the thing.
Or is that somebody that's proven themselves?
I don't think that they will put the title on somebody. I don't think they'll ever put the title on somebody with the intent of them breaking Punk's record. I think
they'll just be like,
they'll put the title and be like, well, yeah, it's been 8 months.
Because we definitely feel that way about Nikki. We're like, I don't know if maybe they were planning it, but
yeah. And part of the thing is, like, I don't know. I don't think they planned a year for Punk. I honestly think they didn't care.
Well, yeah. I think they got to the point where, you know, I think Raw 1000 was, like, the moment where, like, let's keep it on until Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know? With the intention of him, like, becoming a more and more despicable character.
But the thing is, like, we definitely heard that there was strong consideration that Ryback would be beating him. Go back and watch how over Ryback was at that moment.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm, as a person who was in one of those Raws, I think it was the Raw where Punk got hurt, where he wasn't able to compete at TLC.
Yeah.
It was here in Greensboro, and I'm telling you, like, it very much rivaled Cena's support.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember when we first went, Cena, you know, big reaction, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No surprise. But Ryback, just anytime something was going wrong,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was, like, waiting for that good guy to come out, everyone was expecting it to be Ryback and not Cena.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing the Feed Me More chance.
I think the thing is, Punk was so clearly not in the forethought of creative's mind,
right?
During that,
like, I remember, like, the rumor was around the time, like, okay, around some Survivor Series 2011, it was CM Punk is going to win against Alberto Del Rio, and they expect him to have a sizable title reign. I agree with you. I don't think that they were planning.
I think sizable title reign meant to WrestleMania. And maybe even retaining at WrestleMania. But the thing is, after WrestleMania, I thought
at least until, like, beginning of summer. And then they're like, all right, we'll keep him on, you know, because, you know, they don't, Cena's off doing his own thing.
After WrestleMania, because they had Cena lose to The Rock at WrestleMania,
yeah.
and then Rock left.
Right.
So I think after WrestleMania, 100% of the focus was rebuilding Cena.
Right.
Cena's still a threat, you guys. Don't worry about it. Cena's very important. Which is why we had Cena main evented, like, CM Punk.
Right.
CM Punk's first main event after winning was, I think, Night of Champions.
Which was against Cena.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Even. I mean, and so that's the thing, is, like, so from January to September.
Yeah.
Cena main evented over
CM Punk. Yeah, because not even SummerSlam, because SummerSlam was Rock versus Triple H won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it was Kane and Cena in February main evented. Obviously, Rock and Cena main evented
WrestleMania. Yeah, because February was Elimination Chamber, where the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match was first.
Yeah.
That was my birthday. That was a very disappointing birthday for a variety of reasons, but that didn't help.
And then Brock came back, so yeah. Brock and Cena main evented.
Yep.
And then the dreaded
Laurinaitis and Big Show.
The whole trilogy of, I mean, Punk and Bryan had three pay-per-view matches,
uh-huh.
never main eventing.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's the thing, is like, it just wasn't the focus.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's the thing, is like, they got to October, and mm-hmm. were like, let's do it, you guys.
Yeah.
Let's see him Punk it all the way through, and then have him lose to Rock.
But at the same time, they knew the kind of support that CM Punk had, and they had him on, like, what, at least definitely two segments per Raw, sometimes three and four.
Mm-hmm.
And there was times where it felt like a Raw, like, every other segment involved CM Punk.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't rely on him as far as pay-per-view buys, but they relied on him during, like, Raw
mm-hmm.
and house shows and sometimes SmackDown, you know, because they knew. They basically, the next guy that even comes close, they're going to have a lot of faith in and / kind of lux into it.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
kind of hoping it's Seth Rollins, but.
Well, that's part of the thing, is like, if, you know, if back at WrestleMania, Seth Rollins wins, and, like, right after that you go, hey, you think Seth Rollins will still have it at Night of Champions? I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. I honestly thought whoever was the number one contender on SummerSlam was going to take it. I figured Brock was going to come back and go against the champ there.
Yeah.
And that's how he was going to exact his revenge or whatever. So I wasn't expecting Undertaker to be back this soon.
And part of the thing is now, I'm like, I don't know who is a good pick to take it now.
Yeah.
You know?
That and isn't Cena. As far as
Cena's not a good pick.
No, he isn't. But you can tell with WWE, they're like, well, we don't know who else. You know, I think they want a little bit more support around Roman before they try that again.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're very much trying to build up a swell around him.
Yeah.
I think
Dean would be my number one choice because I think they would put on a great feud.
Well, they have put on a great feud.
And I think they would do another equally right. great feud. I think there's, you know, but Dean is kind of stuck being Roman's buddy right now, helping out Roman and hit with his problems, which is frustrating, but understandable. And I still get him all on TV a lot, so I don't want to push my luck.
Yeah, I am excited for hopefully the inevitable Kevin Owens title reign. That would be pretty great.
Yeah.
He would be a very much like CM Punk type heel.
Oh, I think he'd be amazing.
Yeah. Like as far as like a heel champion.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not so much the trying to slow their way out of matches or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll still
I think
because it's going to be difficult for him to portray the slithering away from championship matches. Now, he'll slither away from regular matches.
No,
he'll do that all the time, and I kind of like that.
I absolutely think he should have a pay-me-my-money kind of thing.
Which is, it's kind of been his character mm-hmm. since he came back on, or came to WWE.
And I need to keep this championship because I get paid more as a champion than I do as not a champion. I think that's exactly how they should play that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to do what's making you happy?
What is making me happy? Let's see. New TV's back, like some fall stuff. I'm liking some shows. I'm digging Muppets. It's making me laugh. New show. I think it's Life in Pieces or something like that. It's like one family, but like four different short stories per episode.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know a whole lot about it going in. Watched a couple episodes, and it's got a really good cast. It's making me laugh quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Madison Square Garden show, mm-hmm. just because it's something different, it's something special. You know, you always got to look forward to a takeover special.
Yeah.
It legitimately feels like each one is trying to best the one previously, which is what they're supposed to do, and at this point it seems impossible after Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Just, you know, for a variety of reasons. Short film front, we've finished pretty much all the shooting. I'm editing away a storm, and that is a whole other reasons for me to want to pull my hair out, but it's still exciting, it's still fun, and I'm excited for people to see it.
All right.
So what about you? What's making you happy, buddy?
Big E sent out a tweet on the wrestling front. Big E sent out a tweet that...
sent out a what?
Tweet.
You kept saying a twite.
Tweet.
Okay.
I
thought you were telling me that he was sitting on a toilet. Like, I really thought you were... Like, where are you going with this, buddy?
Big E tweeted...
Yeah.
...an implication that there might actually be some New Day socks
in the
works.
I'm day one buyer right here. Absolutely.
I will pay that outrageous WWEshop.com shipping fee
uh-huh.
so that I can get me some New Day socks.
Yeah.
So...
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but... While we were watching Night of Champions, according to everyone that was in attendance, I do not have a choice when it comes to my Halloween costume this year. I have to be Kevin Owens, apparently. So
yeah, pretty much.
I have a KO shirt now.
All right, there you go.
I don't know if I actually want to cut the sleeves off, because I would like to actually...
Yeah, just roll them up.
Yeah,
you're
I was
good.
Probably just
you're
roll
just good. Them up. Roll them up.
I'm going to have Joel's wife cut my hair. She said she would do it, make it look like him, and maybe trim the beard a little bit. Still got to have like a little bushy on the side,
mm-hmm.
the way he does it.
All
and
right.
So hooray. I mean I don't like doing Halloween costumes, and I'm kinda like I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I'm a large wrestling fan.
This is your third wrestling year in a row, right?
Yeah.
Because you did Bray Wyatt two years ago, Punk 2 years ago, and Bray Wyatt last year, right?
No, Bray Wyatt was a few years ago. CM Punk. It was modern day CM Punk.
No, I remember.
Because I just bought a CM Punk shirt. I wore a Blackhawks hat and I had a big giant Pepsi thing and I fell asleep on the couch. Like, that was my, you know, CM Punk in the current day. And then before that, I did the Bray Wyatt thing. It was like the first year for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
For that, the Halloween thing. So it was like, of course, every large, hairy wrestling fan was all Bray Wyatt. And I could see that coming this year. And like, every large, hairy wrestling fan is going to be Kevin Owens. And I was going to avoid that, but apparently I was given no choice anymore.
Sorry.
I mean, not like, honestly.
I mean, you can be like Robin Hood if you want.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and the chance. Actually, I was like, because with my head kind of shaved now and the beard getting longer, I was like, you know what? I can put on a pair of sweatpants and like just a black hoodie and zip it up here, and I could just be Oscar Isaac's character from Ex Machina when he starts dancing with the robot. And see, that's the thing? No one at the party would get that. But I would be okay with it because I would be wearing sweatpants and a hoodie.
All right.
But now I can't do that.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Do we have any mail sack left? We kind of decimated the whole.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, there's no way of just avoiding that right now.
It's like a weird thing because I didn't dislike Raw this week. I thought it was fine. It was interesting.
It was one of the better Raws recently.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say it's great because a lot of people like went out and like, oh, it's such a great show. I'm like, okay.
It was fine. And part of the thing is like. Last week was apparently really bad ratings, and they kind of went into panic mode, supposedly, backstage.
That's what people were saying, yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're just going to, like,
push John Cena.
Do Cena's birthday or something.
Have Vince McMahon show up on screen. Because yeah. Because that's their go-to. Push a lot of John Cena, have Vince McMahon on the show, or bring back some other, you know, nostalgia act. So they already have Dudley Boys out there.
I was like, it's going to be really... You know, really pandy, really terrible. And it wasn't. It was really good.
Yeah, like, the main event was, like, you know, two young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Got Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, like, main eventing. Like, you may have certain feelings about Roman Reigns and everything, but given that climate and what the panic that they must have felt, reportedly felt, and the fact that they relied on...
Part of the thing is, like, they put on a match, a full, complete match. Yeah, it had ended in a double count. But it didn't end with a cheap run-in. It didn't end with, you know, anything else. It was a match that these two guys...
It was, yeah. Like, those two guys specifically. Like, not nobody on Roman's side, nobody on Bray's side affected the end of the match. Or the brawl at the end. Because at the brawl at the end, I was expecting, like, all right, well, that's where everyone comes out and causes chaos, whatever. But no.
Yeah.
Those two just caused chaos on their own.
Yeah. So I feel kind of bad that I'm scraping for stuff. Because, like, I want to be like, good Raw, let me congratulate.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm still kind of like,
yeah.
It was still 3 hours of nothing. It was just better nothing than usual.
It was a better nothing than usual.
So
maybe that should be the title of the podcast this week. Nothing than usual.
I mean that as a compliment, although I don't know if it will be taken as that. But I do honestly mean it as a compliment. Better nothing than usual.
Hey there, WWE. You did okay.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
Don't forget, we're also on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast. You can look us up there. You can subscribe. A rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow the podcast, easy way to follow Chris and myself, just kind of general what's going on kind of things.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah.